Election Day this year was not exactly a must-see event, unless you live in Virginia or New Jersey or Kentucky, the three states that had important legislative and gubernatorial elections in this off-year cycle. Well, you may have forgotten that an election was even happening. But that doesn't mean there weren't interesting races on the ballot this Tuesday, and personally, I like these off-year elections because it gives us a chance to put a little spotlight on races that probably wouldn't get any attention at all in midterm years or presidential election years. And so this year, as often seems to be the case with that, that meant paying attention to a couple of weird ballot questions in Colorado and Maine, of all places. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine, and you're listening to American Radio Journal. And I know there were some higher profile ballot initiatives happening on Tuesday, especially in Ohio. There were a couple of really high stakes ones there. Voters in the Buckeye State approved one that enshrined the right to abortion and another that legalized marijuana. So much for Ohio being a swing state that is trending towards the right, I guess. But I don't want to talk about those things right now, because I'm actually more fascinated by what voters in Maine and Colorado did on Tuesday by definitively defeating a pair of ballot questions that were pushed by Democrats. Let's start in Maine, where the progressive left was pushing a plan to seize the means of electricity production. No, literally. Maine ballot question 3 would have authorized the creation of a new quasi-public entity to run the state's public utility services. The new Pine Tree Power Company would have been allowed to purchase or acquire, using eminent domain if necessary, the state's existing private electric production facilities and distribution lines. The new power company, the new quasi-state entity, would have been governed by a board that would have been a mix of appointed and elected members, and it would have been the first such statewide utility entity in the country, although there are a few examples of things like this operating on the local level. See, most of Maine is already served by a pair of investor-owned utility companies, the Central Maine Power Company and Versant Power. Advocates for the takeover, which included progressive groups like the Sierra Club and Common Dreams, said that they were going to deal a blow to capitalist greed by getting those two, you know, profit-hungry companies out of the way and replacing them with a public entity. Senator Bernie Sanders, who of course is from Vermont, not Maine, also had endorsed the ballot question. He had dropped into the state back in July to say that power belongs in the hands of the people, not greedy corporations. Although I think if you push the button in his back, that's just what automatically comes out. In reality, the proposal would likely have cost Maine's electricity consumers because the new utility collective would have had to buy out the two existing utility companies and take on their debt, and all of that would have come at a price tag of around $10 billion. According to the Portland Press Herald, that meant that ratepayers would have to cover an additional $500 million in annual debt service payments for the next decade or so, and all of those payments, of course, would have to happen before they got a single watt of electricity. What's interesting in the Maine case was how that kind of fractured the political left. Most notably, it was the Maine AFL-CIO and the local chapter of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Both of those unions came out against the proposal, including the IBEW, which actually represents the workers for the existing utility companies. They were against the takeover too. Now, residents of Maine can't be blamed if they want some changes in how their state's electric utilities operate. Central Maine Power and Versant Power ranked dead last in customer satisfaction within their respective categories in last year's J.D. Power and Associates rankings. But a state takeover is probably not going to solve that problem. Indeed, the best way to force those utility companies to improve would be to subject them to more competition. But ballot question 3 would have taken competition out of the equation entirely. It would have created a state-run monopoly and then just hoped for the best. So voters crushed the idea at the polls, and that's great. About 70% of the vote went against this proposal in Maine on Tuesday. Out in Colorado, meanwhile, Democrats were pushing a bit of a Faustian bargain on voters. They were promising short-term property tax relief that came with some scary long-term consequences. Proposition HH, if it had been approved, would have undone a key component of the state's unique Taxpayer Bill of Rights law, or TABOR. That law, passed as a ballot initiative back in 1992, limits the annual growth of Colorado's state government to a formula based on inflation and population growth. It's widely hailed by fiscal conservatives across the country as a model for forcing the state government to live within its means. As part of the TABOR law, Colorado is required to return excess tax revenue to taxpayers. That means the state can't run big surpluses that easily tempt lawmakers into expanding existing programs or dreaming up brand new ones. Proposition HH would have changed that. If it had been approved, the ballot initiative would have created a new, higher cap on how much revenue the state would be allowed to keep as part of its annual surplus. In return, taxpayers would get a reduction in property tax rates and some other changes in how those rates are calculated that might have provided additional relief to some homeowners. Basically, the state would have given taxpayers a small tax cut now and then kept a lot more of their money over the next few years. But voters saw right through that charade, too. 60% of Coloradans voted against that idea on Tuesday. Now, these exercises in direct democracy, they're always somewhat imperfect ways of setting policy, especially because turnout in these off-year elections are always pretty low. But even with that caveat, I'm pretty heartened to see these two results because these are two cases in quite different states, in fact, in blue-leaning states in both Colorado and Maine, but two examples of where voters discarded proposals that were simple but flawed solutions to complex problems. And so, you know, maybe policymakers in state capitals and Washington, D.C. will take note of that. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Check out the rest of our coverage of these two ballot questions, everything else that was decided on Tuesday night around the country, and of course, all of the ongoing issues in Washington, D.C. Find all of that online at Reason.com and catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.